Ford tumbled through the open air in a cloud of glass splinters and chair parts. Again, he hadn't really thought things through, really, and was just playing it by ear, buying time. At times of major crisis, he found it was often quite helpful to have his life flash before his eyes. It gave him a chance to reflect on things, see things in some sort of perspective, and it sometimes furnished him with a vital clue as to what to do next. There was the ground rushing up to meet him at 30 feet per second per second, but he would, he thought, deal with that problem when he got to it. First things first. Ah, here it came. His childhood. Humdrum stuff. He'd been through it all before. Images flashed by. Boring times on Beetlejuice 5. Zaphod Beeblebrox as a kid, yes, he knew all that. He wished he had some kind of fast-forward in his brain. His seventh birthday party, being given his first towel. Come on, come on. He was twisting and turning downwards, the outside air at this height a cold shock to his lungs, trying not to inhale glass. Early voyages to other planets, oh, for Zark's sake, this was like some sort of bloody travelogue documentary before the main feature. First beginning to work for the guide. Ah, those were the days. They worked out of a hut on the Bwineli Atoll on Fanala, before the Richternarkles and the Danqueds vertled it. Half a dozen guys, some towels, a handful of highly sophisticated digital devices, and most importantly, a lot of dreams. No, most importantly, a lot of Fanalan rum. To be completely accurate, that old jank spirit was the absolute most important thing, then the Fanalan rum, and also some of the beaches on the atoll where the local girls would hang out, but the dreams were important as well. Whatever happened to those? He couldn't quite remember what the dreams were, in fact, but they had seemed immensely important at the time. They had certainly not involved this huge, towering office block he was now falling down the side of. All of that had come when some of the original team had started to settle down and get greedy, while he and others had stayed out in the field, researching and hitchhiking, and gradually becoming more and more isolated from the corporate nightmare the guide had inexorably turned into, and the architectural monstrosity it had come to occupy. Where were the dreams in that? He thought of all the corporate lawyers who occupied half of the building, all the operatives who occupied the lower levels, and all the sub-editors and their secretaries and their secretaries' lawyers and their secretaries' lawyers' secretaries, and worst of all, the accountants and the marketing department. He had half a mind just to keep on falling. Two fingers to the lot of them. He was just passing the 17th floor now, where the marketing department hung out. Load of tosspots all arguing about what colour the guide should be and exercising their infinitely infallible skills of being wise after the event. If any of them had chosen to look out of the window at that moment, they would have been startled by the sight of Ford Prefect dropping past them to his certain death and flicking V-signs at them. 16th floor. Sub-editors. Bastards. What about all that copy of his they'd cut? 15 years of research he had filed from one planet alone and they'd cut it to two words. Mostly harmless. V-signs to them as well. 15th floor. Logistical administration, whatever that was about. They all had big cars. That, he thought, was what that was about. 14th floor. Personnel. He had a very shrewd suspicion that it was they who had engineered his 15-year exile while the guide metamorphosed into the corporate monolith, or rather duolith, mustn't forget the lawyers, it had become. 13th floor, research and development. Hang about. 13th floor. He was having to think rather fast at the moment because the situation was becoming a little urgent. He suddenly remembered the floor display panel in the elevator. It hadn't had a 13th floor. He thought no more about it because having spent 15 years on the rather backward planet Earth where they were superstitious about the number 13, he was used to being in buildings that numbered their floors without it. No reason for that here, though. The windows of the 13th floor, he could not help noticing as he flashed swiftly by them, were darkened. What was going on in there? He started to remember all the stuff that Harl had been talking about. One new multidimensional guide spread across an infinite number of universes. It had sounded, the way Harl had put it, like wild meaninglessness dreamed up by the marketing department with the backing of the accountants. If it was any more real than that, then it was a very weird and dangerous idea. Was it real? What was going on behind the darkened windows of the sealed-off 13th floor? Ford felt a rising sense of curiosity and then a rising sense of panic. That was the complete list of rising feelings he had. In every other respect, he was falling very rapidly. He really ought to turn his mind to wondering how he was going to get out of this situation alive.